Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, thank you.
whatever the Lord has promised you, you're gonna live to see it happen. I know fear's been trying to tell you you won't, but you're gonna live to see it happen. I said live. You're gonna live to see it happen. I don't know who needs to hear that more than once, but you're gonna live. You're gonna live. You're gonna live. You're gonna live. You're gonna live to see it happen. Yeah, you're gonna live to see it happen. I tell you, live. You're gonna live to see it happen.
Yeah. Chicago, yes, sir, it's about to go down. Come on, let's get it. It's
hot. No limit.
It's the hottest radio show in the land, Taking Limits Off Radio. That's right, Taking the Limits Off Radio is on the air. That's right, we are on the air broadcasting live. Why am I seeing a shutter? Broadcasting live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, the one, the only, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio with you on today. I am excited to be here with you all on today, man. We got a great, great, great show for you on today, man. Look, I'm so excited. Watch this. Praise Break Friday. The top 10 things I love that worship leaders do. It's the top 10 things I love that worship leaders do. That's our topic of conversation for tonight. It's going to be a great, 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 great show for you tonight. But as always, I'm excited to be here. But let's do this, y'all, because I can't stand no shuttering camera. We're going to do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let that live continue to play. That's right. We're going to let that. That's right. That's that. That's that. That J.J. Harrison and Pastor David Wilford getting it in. We're going to let them continue to tell us that we're going to live and not die. And we're going to keep that going while I get this camera fixed. Huh? Come on, you shall live and not die. Come on in here. My. Come on. My. Y'all might as well come on and bless them with me right now. If you know you got it, you ought to go ahead and praise them in here. Hey! My. You better act like you know him in this place. Come on. Huh? Woo! Yeah. All right, all right. As I was saying at the beginning of the show. My. Anybody believe that you're going to live to see it happen? As I said at the beginning of the show, it is the hottest radio show in the land. Now, I got warmer here. I guess all that moving I was doing. But it's the hottest radio show in the land. And we are excited to be here. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in one more time to the TTLO radio show. It's Praise Break Friday. And sometimes on Praise Break Friday, that's just what we do. We just like to get excited. We get excited for God. Ain't there's no, it don't take nothing special to praise God. I told folks this last Sunday. I hope y'all been able to do it. Those of you who listened in, I hope you got your seven praises in, your seven times to praise God in worship. Now, if you didn't do it, then you can't expect nothing to happen. I said that was going to be your minimum, seven times. Huh? Come on. His report. Yes. Yes.
His report says I am free.
Yes.
His report says victory.
Come on, come on.
His report says I am healed.
Yes, sir. My. But look, we got a great show for you all today. Again, it's the top 10 things that I love that worship leaders do. The top 10 things I love that worship leaders do. That's our main topic of conversation. We're going to touch on that and so much more today, man. But I'm excited to be here. But look, let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. It might be your first time listening. Might be your first time watching, first time viewing, first time on the radio side of things. I'm going to give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. I should just cut this song off. I should have cut off a long time ago because I feel like I just want to just let it keep going because I like what he's saying. His report said I got victory, huh? Yes? But anyway, if you want to be a part of the show, this is all you got to do. If you're already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer on the other side of the glass over there, the one, the only, LaTanya Michelle King, taking all of your calls and handling all of the business on the other side of the glass. That'll get you over to her. She'll get you over to me, and you'll be live on the air with your boy. That's right, live on the air with your boy. That's all you got to do. If you're listening already via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number, 323-870-4375. That is your call in number. One more time for the Holy Ghost. 323-870-4375 is your call in number. If you want to email the show, you can email the show. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Again, it's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net if you want to do it that way. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. Guess what? You can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. What's that? Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, that's right. If you want to follow us on Instagram, that's real simple, real easy to do. Follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us on the gram. That's right, where you can find us on the gram. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then the live streams are up and running. Y'all come on in the room. That's right. Come on in. The live streams are up and running. Come on in the room. Jesus is my doctor and he writes. Come on, somebody, out all my scripture. He gives me all my medicine. Somebody say in my room. So y'all come on in here and join in with us right now. I'm just excited again to be here with you all day, so you can do that, man. Y'all come on in. When you come in, if you haven't already done so, come in and speak. Y'all know how to do when y'all get to church. That's right. Visitors, if it's your first time, say something. I see two folk already done spoke. I see Tyree Foster. God bless you, sir. I see you. God bless you. And Elect Lady. That's right. I see Elect Lady is in the house with us right now. Glad she is here. So glad. Hoping and praying that you are still on the way back to a full recovery and with your bout with that horrible disease, COVID-19. So we're going to continue to pray for you. And our hope is that you are continuing to recover. As we know, God is a healer. So we already know that you are already on the way back. Amen, amen, and amen. So look, again, we are just excited to be here on today. I was trying to see why. I think I got y'all in here. Let's see. Let me know you in the room. You're in. Patricia Butts is here. Uh-oh, there's Madeek W.C. Rice, huh? Somebody say Willie Charles. That's what I'm talking about. Look at your neighbor, boy. I just got happy. The one, the only, Willie Charles is in the house. Willie Charles. That's it. That's the name we gave him. That ain't what his name say, but that's what we call him. W.C., my favorite deacon in the whole wide world. W.C. Rice is in the room. We are excited. Y'all come in. Make sure y'all speak to me. Let me know where you're at. Look, man, you can also find us, again, that's on Facebook. Then on YouTube, don't forget, go to, if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube page. LaTanya will put that up on the screen for you. But subscribe to our YouTube page. You'll have that right there as well. Follow us on YouTube. You can catch us there. Subscribe to the page. We're always looking to try to build up that audience as well. So subscribe to our YouTube page. We are live there as well. Amen, amen, amen. I am, again, excited just to be here with y'all today. Don't forget, too, we are an iHeartRadio partner. What does that mean? You can find us on your iHeartRadio app. All you got to do is do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Media Group. That's right. Do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group. And not only will you find the TTLO radio show, but you'll also find Healthy Soul Talk. That's right. Healthy Soul Talk at its new start time of 5:30 every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. She relaunched last night, had an amazing show talking about the difference between confidence and narcissism. My God, that's all right. Between confidence and narcissism. Had a great, great show with her last night. Dr. Thomas was on fire. If you missed it, you can always go back and catch the replay at any time. But she is back. Real talk, real issues, real solutions. Healthy Soul Talk every Thursday at 5:30 right here on the TTLO Media Group Networks. But don't forget, on Tuesdays, you can catch my brother, the one, the only, Pastor Harold D. Washington, with Kitchen Chronicles, always on our TTLO Facebook page, The Kitchen Chronicles, every Tuesday. Man, he feeds your spirit and your belly, huh? Always cooking some good stuff, and he feeds you spiritually. That's Pastor Harold Washington of the Faith Works and Vision Church over on the west side of Chicago. You can always catch him there. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, I do want to say this. We are going to be working, just so y'all know, next week Monday, let me say it again, next week Monday, there will be a rebroadcast of the TTLO show. Why is it a rebroadcast? Because your boy is taking some time off. some well-deserved time off. We're going to take a couple days off. We'll be back Thursday for Healthy Soul Talk so she can do her show. But we out. We getting up out of here. So I'm going to chill out. Gonna leave Chicago for a little while. So y'all keep us lifted up. But we taking a little break because it's time. You know, everybody else get breaks. So we I ain't had one in a minute. But we taking some time off from just from TTLO show and from some other stuff though. But while I'm out of school, I need to leave town for a little while just to y'all know to do my reset, retool and relaunch, huh? Reset, retool and relaunch. This is a part of that process, a part of that process, the resetting, the retooling, and the relaunching. But when we come back, we are going to come back. We'll be back Friday. We'll be back next week Friday at our regular time, next week Friday. But when we come back, we're going to have some more information. I told y'all I was starting a sports show. Told y'all I want to start a sports show. And I know I've had some people inquire about hosting, and that's great. I think we got one person kind of sort of lined up already, but we're looking for another host. Actually, I would think to have a female dynamic would be great. If we're not able to do that, that's fine. But I think having a male-female dynamic on a sports show would be absolutely awesome, especially this day and time. I think that having that perspective of both sides. So if you can talk sports, or if you know somebody who knows sports, who has a passion for sports, y'all know what to do. Hit us up at the TTLO show. TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. We're going to be putting something out because we're going to do a whole feeling out process. Because here is the deal. When we launch shows and stuff like this, it's always difficult because I think a lot of times people see what we do and they assume it's easy. They assume it's easy to sit in one of these chairs. It's easy to pop in every now and then. It's easy to come in here and sit. And show up every now and then and do a show. It's easy to do that. Every now and then to pop in, every once in a month, every now and then, you know, be a special guest and all that, because you're sitting over here and you got no responsibilities. All you got to do is sit back and you get to, you can lead some conversations, you can talk back, you can respond, all of that good stuff. But it's difficult when you have to sit in this chair and lead the show. It's different. So when you, it's easy to say, I want to host. But here's the deal. Are you going to be committed? We had a lot of people who did some false starts and things like that. And, you know, we went along with it. But when it's time to commit, meaning you got to be here for your show, right? We can only push you as far as you're willing to be pushed, and you have to make the commitment to be available for the time. So again, if you're committed, if it's something you want to do, or if you believe you know somebody that would be really, really good at it, send them our way. Y'all know how to find me or contact LaTanya. Send them our way. If they have previous experience, that's great. That's wonderful. But we're looking for somebody to host our brand new TTLO sports show. We'll come out. We're going to give you all the name and all that good stuff later, information to come. But we're looking for someone to help host that particular show. It's going to be a great, great show. It's not a Christian sports show. It's a sports talk show. It's a sports talk show. You can talk about anything in the sports world that you feel like you want to talk about, but you got to make it, you know, you got to make it relevant. You got to make it fun. You'll craft it. We will just simply produce it for you. But it's something that TTLO wants to do. So, I think it'll be a great, great, great move for us going forward. So if you know somebody who's interested in doing that, again, they can email TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Again, the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Also, don't forget you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you can download a podcast. Yeah. All right. So. Here we go. I am, man, it feels like, I know we were just here Monday. Oh, wait. Yeah, we were here Monday. We didn't do a show last week. We didn't do a show last week Friday. Oh, hold on. You good? Your mic on over there?
Nope. It's on now.
It's on now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Welcome to the show. Glad you can be a part. Whatever you got on over there is echoing in my ear. Turn it down.
Oh.
Or the headphone. Thank you. All right.
Can you hear you?
No, I can't. I'm good now. Okay. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
How's your week been?
It's been fine. It's been fun.
It's been fine? That's it? That's all you got?
It's been awesome.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
It's been very, very awesome. Very awesome.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Cool. Good. Look, y'all, man, so much stuff is going on. All right, most of the people should be stimulated by now. Everybody, their mama or close to your mamas should have got they stimmies. I know there's some people, still some stragglers out there, but all of y'all should have been stimulated. And look, I know it's restaurant week here in Chicago. It started today.
It started last week.
Oh, I thought it started today.
Last week on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Going all the way to April 5th.
Okay. So restaurant week has started. I know y'all are, look, let me help y'all right now. I hope that people are not out right now taking all their stimulus money and buying crab legs. I really hope that all the stimmies.
I hope not.
I promise you.
Because you got that good old supplemental.
I hope they ain't spending all that link card money on crab legs either.
$4.50 a month.
Y'all are. I mean, I really, really hope. I'm so serious. I'm being funny, but I'm not. I really hope y'all ain't spending all that good money on crab legs and iPhones. Because I've seen some people just, like, doing the most. I took a drive through the alley the other day, and I can tell y'all right now, there are TV boxes in the alley right now, all brand-new TV boxes. Again, the question that comes to me every year is, what did y'all do with the TVs y'all bought last year during income tax season?
Poorly mounted. They cracked.
Oh, they fell off the wall, and then they had to get a new one. Is that what they did?
I have two instances.
Right, but I get the feeling that TVs are being passed down.
She said Papa Doe got all the stimulus checks. We know that.
Papa Doe, look, I said this yesterday. Papa Doe's has made back all of their money that they lost during stimulus during the pandemic in the last probably week and a half, 2 weeks. I guarantee you they've made back all their money. They probably could get their employees that they wasn't paying when they were closed, they probably can get them some back pay. I promise you, because you probably can't get in there. We should call Papa Doe right now.
No, remember, we tried.
Tried to call who?
We tried to go.
Where, the Papa Doe?
Yeah, I think we looked at the reservations, and it was like, Neil.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you can't go in there.
Don't.
Yeah, Papa Doe's is gone. I'm sure
this ain't what you want in your life.
I'm sure Low Country, you can't get in there. You know,
and all of the Low Countries, Wabash, Wrigleyville.
Yeah. Seafood boil, any seafood boil.
Cajun boiling.
What's the place? What's Angela's spot? What's the one she like? Crab house, crab monster. What's it called?
Everybody got a crab place.
Right, but what's the one? You know, she loved one of.
I mean, but she has.
Is
a
it
lot
angry?
Of,
angry crab? No.
No, angry crab is a good one. Angry crab is the one that started this whole mix.
The four loco.
Yes, Angry Crab was out there with your BYOB, I'm sorry, Saints, and everything. And
bring your own Bible.
Yeah, uh-huh. do that if you want.
that's okay. Not what you meant?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that ain't what you meant? I'm sorry.
I don't think the word is in there.
Ain't no word in Angry Crab?
that place started that. Like, you know, they used to have the wait time was ridiculous, and, like, they went to an app first,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
People can, like, you know, wait in their cars and, like, you know, and come in.
Oh, okay, okay.
I would say Angry Crab is your cheaper version. Low Country is your bougietto price range.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
After that, you know, Cajun Boiling Bar. You know, that's a black owned business. You know, so you know.
Is it?
Yes, yes.
Black, oh, okay.
A black guy. He manages all of those.
Oh, okay, okay. This is all news to me. I'm just like I just really hope that people are putting some kind of money away, because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but this come up that everybody came up on, it's a wrap. when it's over. You looking real light skinned over there.
Oh, man.
You might want to fix that. You looking real light skinned. You know, like you bleaching over there.
Felt like Drake a little bit. Hey.
Oh, God.
I'm a little baby.
Right.
I can go to the front of the.
Right. You can ride on front of the bus. You get any lighter over there. The yeah, I just looked up. Oh, you can't do the. I just tried to look them up on Open Table, but you can't do Papa Doe's on Open Table. You can't do a restaurant on Open Table. Let me see. Can you even get a reservation in here? I'm just looking now. I just want to see.
Am I dark enough now?
Let me see. Did you darken it? Oh, I can't. Oh, okay. I don't see that, but okay. See, now you're doing too much. You know.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. Now you're regular. There you go. Now you got some color. Back to life.
fun with juices
that's
and berries.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, I hope y'all are doing something. And look, remember this. I told you all this at the beginning of the pandemic. Amazing ideas came forward the last time there was a major crisis in this country. Uber and Lyft were created in the midst of a crisis. So please, ma'am, please, sir, I really hope that you have made some wise decisions while you've been sitting here. So I'm on Papa Do's right now.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
There's no openings today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Oh, Wednesday. There's opening on Wednesday. That's the first day you can get an opening at Papa Do's. Let me see. Tuesday. Okay, no, Monday is the first day. You can't. So everything for the weekend is booked already.
That's quite all right. Let it be booked.
At Papa Do's. That's okay.
We ain't got the word.
Because Papa Do's is it Cajun?
Cajun Creole.
That's okay. We going to the real Cajuns to get the real for real.
I cannot wait.
So, yeah, I had thought about doing the show remotely.
No, sir.
You said no, sir.
You said no, sir.
Dang. You just override me.
No, sir. They're going to see that grenade in my hand. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Maybe we'll do a pop-up TTLO, like 20 minutes on live if the signal is good from somewhere. We might do that at 7 o'clock on Monday. Depending on where we at. So, anyway. You said no. Tanya ain't feeling it at all. She was like, you be doing it by yourself.
Like, what are we going to have? Like, I'm going to bring an eye rig and everything.
No, we ain't doing all that. I'm just playing. She said soul to soul, real music.
It definitely was.
Soul to soul
was. Back to life. Back to reality. Please tell me you like soul to soul.
What?
Please tell me you like soul to soul.
I did.
Okay, great.
I did. You know what it was? I just got tired again. I just got tired. It seemed like they would play it like every seventh song. Like it got played a lot when it was hot, when it was popular.
Right next to Lisa Stansfield.
Been
around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't. He left.
That's what we need. Left. I need somebody. Anybody want to do an R&B show? Like all R&B hits, the best R&B talk, you know, I would come co-host with you. I don't want to host. I would just come and push buttons. That would be the show. Have some good time then, boy. Like, we're going to go back and play this
and
old school.
And then in the middle of the night, I got to restore audio because for some strange reason.
No, we
got to
play the song. We can actually, you know, man, look at those, put on some Teddy Pendergrass. Think I better let it go. What you say now? Huh? Or what's that? So I would get tired of hearing that if they sang it like that, Lord. really, ooh. Felicia? That's what you...
But then she need to come through.
Right. You ain't heard nothing until you heard the Love Boat version of I Need Thee Every Hour. You ain't heard nothing. You think... And I'm playing right now. You...
Oh, God.
You think what? Don't get me started. You ain't heard nothing. I'm over here being silly. You ain't heard nothing until you heard "Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus." Say what? No. Oh, until you when you get that version, boy, you. That's when God be like, I'm going down the street. I'm going to the other church over there. Let me go see what they do. Let me know when the boat get back on the dock.
Now I understand why.
I got no friends. What?
We got that email. Now we.
What? What you, email?
You.
What email I got?
Remember that email?
Which one? Oh, help me out. We have to remind me. Now.
Okay, I will.
Remind me on commercial.
Okay, commercial.
Commercial. Anyway, where's Apostle Henderson? I know, right? I haven't talked to Michael in a while. to check in with good old Michael Bernard Henderson with the sweat of God. I am drinking this good, healthy energy drink right here. This one that you see the back of. Cause
it ain't nothing good about that drink. Nothing.
It's fresh. It's delicious. But yeah, I'm going to need them to give me a couple dollars for sponsors and then we can work it out. She said, swear if God. Sweat of God.
She corrected it. She corrected it.
Swear if.
It's sweat of. Sweat of God. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Look, y'all. What's the subject? What's the subject? Real quick. So, Latanya don't want to talk about the Derrick Jackson. Is it Derrick? Was it John? I don't even know the dude's name. She says that Colt 45.
Felicia understands me.
What? Is that Colt 45?
Yeah.
Why? What?
Because you be doing your best Colt 45.
I be trying to. You know, I tried that when I got like 21. I went and bought like a 40-ounce Colt 45 and opened it and stood by the door to see if anybody's going to show up. Didn't work out.
Okay.
It didn't work out. Anyway, y'all know the story. We talked about this a little bit last night with Derrick Jackson. I ain't trying to get into the ins and outs. That's probably not a good way to put that. Mm. I ain't trying to get into the ins.
No pun intended, huh?
Really, but then, right, well, that's it. I got one of them over here somewhere. Nope, that ain't it. Nope. Oh, there it is. Yeah, let me try that again. I ain't trying to get into the ins and outs. Okay. She said he was wrong all the time. That ain't how you spell Jackson. So he's... That's probably not how his last name is spelled anyway. That's probably just his YouTube name. I bet you that's his YouTube social media name. His name is probably spelled Jackson. Ain't nobody spelling Jackson.
His name is Tyrone.
His real name is Tyrone?
No, I'm just playing. I just laughed for you. Sorry.
Anyway. Let me say, my whole thing is when you get yourself in those situations, I think you ought to be able to, you should have to face the music by yourself. That's my thing. I don't like the fact whether she came voluntarily or he said, hey, you need to come do this with me because we going to lose everything if you don't stand with me. However that's going to go, I don't know. But I just don't think – it just wasn't a good look. I went back and watched the clip because all I saw was the memes. I never actually saw the real video. And then when I saw the real video, I'm like
– him talking in third person.
Yeah, he was like, as Dana King, and I sit here and do this show, you know, Dana King sometimes feel like he don't want to do this. And then Dana King said he don't want to. And then Dana King said, what? And then what? Like, huh? Who? Who? Like it's almost like he was saying it was somebody else. like the social media him is the one that did the dirt, not the real him. So that's literally how he was saying it. So, like, it was Derrick, J-A-X-X-Y-N, not Derrick Jackson, like the Jackson we know how to spell. He was making it sound like something else. Go ahead.
Well, Felicia's going to say Bonnet Chronicles. Well, no,
I thought
actually,
it was a beret.
It was a beret, but Tammy Roman actually does a Bonnet Chronicles video. So, yeah.
She's wearing a bonnet?
Yeah, she actually wears a bonnet every time, and she goes on Instagram or Facebook, and she does, you know, she has her moment and everything else, and they are called Bonnet Chronicles.
Let me say something about bonnets, and please, y'all just might get mad at me. Bonnets are of the devil. Bonnets are not to be seen by anybody outside of your house. Let me say that again. Your bonnet that you sleep in is not to be seen by anyone outside of your home.
So, Dana.
Let me finish, and you can come on with your soul, Dana.
Okay, go on, Kamala. I'm speaking.
I'm speaking? Dana King is speaking.
Right. <third person.
laughs> Right. Bonnets, your pajamas. Yo, whatever, just like grandmama and her duster. Them dusters was not meant to be worn outside the kitchen. Your bonnet is not meant to be worn outside of when you get up. I'm gonna take it a step further. When you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes and get the crust out, the bonnet should go with the crust. Don't nobody, I'm getting a look, you'll be all right. Don't nobody want to see no bonnet. I'm sorry. That's just not, it ain't attractive. It ain't cute. It's showing the hell ain't sexy. I said what I said. It ain't nothing. Ain't nothing cute about it. It ain't, I understand its purpose. But once you are awake, it's for sleeping. Sleeping.
Okay.
Once you are awake, head is no longer on pillow. Leave bonnet where it is. What you got, Miss LaTanya?
I have nothing.
you ain't got nothing, huh?
I have nothing.
You sure?
You have spoken.
I will give you a chance to say something.
You have spoken.
I'm just saying.
I took nope. And
Felicia said, if you want to stay married, it's a time limit on that bonnet in the house.
It sure is.
Man, look here. I need to talk to Reggie Royal in London about if they have bonnet chronicles in their married life seminars. Because that should not happen.
You got 165.
I got about 165 laying around. So if we cut out two drinks at dinner, that's 165 right there.
Okay then.
But I'm saying nobody wants to see that. I mean, you know, it's just like, I mean, wearing a bonnet all day long, you know, it's like let's just do it like this. So I'm just going. If I'm sleeping like this here.
You look like you are auditioning for Star Wars.
If I'm sleeping like this here, this what you want to see? This right here? This what you
want? No, that's not what you want to see.
I look a whole fool right now.
Yes, but you do.
Because I guess I should have put the headphones on top of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that ain't what you, that, ooh, it's hot. That ain't what you want to see. That is not what you
want
to see.
You want me to cut off hell over there?
You can turn that heat down, please, Jesus. The little heater over here, because this is hot in this studio. But there's nothing. It ain't nothing cute about that. And I would not want my significant other, wife, boo, whoever, nobody on camera with me with a bonnet on their head. Now y'all saying, what you say? He said, wife. She's all about boo, bonnet, bae. First of all, I wouldn't ask her to come on camera that way. Now, y'all keep telling me it was a raspberry beret, the kind you find in a secondhand store. But it from what I saw, Felicia, I'm with you, it looked like a bonnet.
No, it was a beret. Y'all need to be honest about it. Y'all saw that. It was not scrunched up. It was literally a beret. Now, for her second video, she did by herself. Yeah, she did a hotel whoop.
What she do by herself?
She had like a regular baseball cap on.
Maybe her hair wasn't done, but you shouldn't have did no video.
It wasn't done. It wasn't done. You didn't even put on a nice African head wrap, scarf, or anything.
So help me out. Does the brother got a book coming out?
Yes, he does.
When is the book going to be released?
Oh, I forgot.
So it's coming out soon.
It's coming out soon.
Let me see if I can do a quick check on his book to see.
I mean, but he act like he out there on the New York Times bestseller list.
Well, he probably thought it was going. He actually has a book called A Cheat Man's Heart.
And then he always say black men don't cheat.
Single mothers. Oh, he got a bunch of books.
Yes, he does.
Oh.
But he's not the only one out here on that game.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just like, okay. Okay. Single mothers are for grown men only. Oh, okay. He got a whole. I didn't realize the brother had all these books.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can get the deluxe package. Oh, it's sold out. A Cheat Man's Heart 1 and 2.
I'm going to save y'all a whole bunch of time.
Oh, God. All of these books say sold out. Wow. Oh, there's a Cheating Man's Heart Part 3. Is this the new one? Oh, no, this was January 28th. This just came out this year.
He come out with a book like Prince came out with albums.
Mm. Wow. Okay. All right. She said, did Beyonce have that on the Lemonade video?
She had a head wrap on.
She had a head wrap on, but I'm trying to remember the Lemonade video. I barely remember that video. I didn't really pay the Lemonade thing that much attention. She says, not so much the older people. I see teenagers and young people. Stop it. My mother would strangle us if we went out the house like that. Oh, yeah.
It is the teenagers.
Yeah.
I got a teen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like the biggest thing during, I can tell y'all right now, on Zoom. And we had gotten to it with some parents. Because we told the kids, you're not coming on camera with that bonnet on your head. And they was like, and so it's like, well, my hair not done. Okay, well, if you was at school, then what? So are you telling me because you at home, you not taking care of your hair? Because you ain't going to school. Y'all still going places because y'all still showing up at places and going out and talking about you went here and here over the weekend. I'm sure you didn't go out over the weekend with the bonnet on. So what's wrong with your hair? So we literally had parents sending us messages. Why did you turn my child's camera off? Because don't nobody want – we didn't ask them to wear uniforms. We asked them – we didn't care about the uniform process. We was like, you know what? Treat it like it's a dress down day. But even in the building, you cannot wear – just like the boys can't show up with baseball caps and do-rags on and bandanas on, young ladies cannot wear – bonnets on their head like they're in front of the camera. Don't nobody want to see that. Don't nobody want to see that. So again, that's all I had to say about that. I ain't finna dig too much into that because y'all talked about it more than y'all was supposed to yesterday. So I'm gonna let it ride out.
No, you can talk about it. I'm just here.
I just you know what? It's unfortunate because again, I don't know much about him. Tanya, you probably know a little bit more about dude because not that you follow him, but you follow him enough to know who he is.
You see a lot of men trying to help black women date and everything. So, like, just through the feeds and everything else like that, you know, like I said, you got Ace Metaphor, you got Derek Jackson, you got Steven Speaks, you got the Prodigal Son, you have Trenton Shelton. And everything else like that. So just along the way, even like, you know, Pastor Brandon Campbell, he has a book on redating. So, I mean, you just learn to, you find them here and there.
Okay. I just thought that.
What Felicia just said, bottom line.
Practice what you're selling.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tell us to practice what we preach, right? The late great, Bishop, Apostle, a cardinal, Barry White said, practice what you preach. That's what he said. I'm telling you this, and I'm telling you that.
Okay, Dennis, the
karaoke got to stop. There is a lesson you want to teach. Here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. That was a cut. Y'all don't remember that?
Barry White singing it.
See what you trying to say? What you saying? What you saying? My non melodious tones ain't what you want.
What a band is.
The band is back. The band is back. She said it's funny that a lot of thank you, Malia. Thank you. I'm trying. Felicia said it's so funny that a lot of these gurus are always targeting women. But see, that's because
it was women. So what is the difference between, like, you know, y'all got mad. The black men got mad.
With Steve Harvey, Harvey act like a, but think like
before,
a, whatever, whatever.
Before Steve Harvey,
uh-huh.
He took parts of
he
his
stole somebody's
own
stuff.
Bodyguard's book, Big Boom, about, like, you know, if you want closure in your relationship, start with your legs. He took part of his own bodyguard's book and put it in his book and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, black men got mad and everything else like that. Like, you know, like this game meant to be sold, not told. Yes, you're right. But at the same time, you know, this man, like he's, well, Steve Harvey talks about it, you know, and you know, in bits and pieces and everything else like that. But you know, you left your wife before you got with Marjorie.
Yeah, like lady told me, Lee Berry song alone.
That's right.
That's not cool. But I'm all right. I'll be all right with it. Yeah, I think Felicia, to your point, she says our men not going for the okie doke.
What's the okie doke?
Buy like that. Like men are not going to buy books from some regular dude telling you about relationships. They're not, or some woman, like if a woman, like what woman, like I said, here's the question. Maybe we just don't know about it. What woman is writing a book right now for men? Yes.
There is a book.
Who is it? Is it Ayana Lavanza?
No.
Save yourself.
No, it is a book. Oh my gosh, let me find it.
Okay. So, but that's just it. You don't have there's not a sect, S-E-C-T, of women who are writing books for men, for men to help men do anything. There is a market for helping women. There is a market for men, but men are not going to actively buy those books. Unfortunately, and I'm not speaking for all brothers, so don't take me wrong, but I don't believe brothers read a lot, especially that type of material. I don't think you're going to find a lot of men reading that type of material. Men don't read a lot of self-help books. So that's going to be part of their issue right there. You're not going to find a lot of men reading self-help books. Say her name again. Say it one more time. Ayana Van Zant. Save yourself. I used to like her when she would be on Oprah back in the day. That was like when she was on Oprah before she got real big and went to do her own show after Oprah told her not to do it anyway. But when she got real, real big, she was cold on Oprah back then. She was cold. I like Yana. Oh, Yanni. She was getting it in. She was getting it, boy. She was, yeah, because they did shows. But you're not going to find a lot of men, they're not going to actively read self-help books. It's just not going to happen. You'll find more like, it's just like, you know, women who read, you know, we're supposed to have an author on tonight. What's she coming to do the next church? Was it a new book or was it a church girl's book?
She has another book.
Right.
That's not. Under
not like, under that
yeah. Oh,
okay, so but anyway, we had an author that was coming on, but you know, she doesn't have a lot of male readers. She probably has some, but male men are not going to read you know, they're not going to read a lot of they ain't finna read love stories, right? And they're not going to read self-help guides or anything like that. Now, we'll attend a conference or something with our significant other, but we ain't finna read no, it's not something that we're just not wired that way. So that's why, Felicia, back to your point about falling for the okie doke, it's we're not open to it. Whereas women, especially single women or women who have been in up and down relationships, they're always looking for answers. And you can get that when you're dealing with a lot of women who never get closure. And this, and I'm speaking about women, so y'all don't get mad at me. But there is this need for closure. And so when you don't get the answer, or you don't like the answer that's directly in front of you, you start looking for reasons. Well, why didn't this happen? And why didn't this happen? And then you get some guy like Derek Jackson and others who will write a book and tell you that this is why it happened, even though they don't know your exact situation. But they will sit there and tell you this is why it happened. And that stuff sells. That stuff sells. That's simply what it is. So, but yeah, I hope that it's, I'll you know, this thing will die down and it's a good thing. But it will die down and, we'll get past it and it's going to be awesome, man. Everybody going to be all right. Put it that way. Everybody going to be all right. And once they do, then, you know, we'll move forward and we'll forget all about this, thing, and we'll be on to the next big that happens.
I mean, well, you know, the other big thing that happened.
What was that? What I missed?
comedian Gary Owen, his wife died.
Oh, yeah, the white dude who always talk about going to the black picnic. His wife left him or leaving him. What'd he do? Let me blame it on him real quick.
No, he did.
Oh, Lord, what'd he do?
Supposedly there is an affair.
Oh, Gary. Was she black? That's the question.
She's, well...
Was the affair black? Did he keep it real, or did he go back home?
He said, if it's a white woman, she about to fight. She said she's coming, and she's like, and Gary, no. But then I think she just went off a little bit off the rails a little bit, I guess. Like, you know, just became insulting. Like, you know, the whole thing, like, you know, she was with Gary when he had nothing, and all he had was just a good credit score. He was homeless. Like, you can say that. That's 17 years ago. Where he at now?
Well, he probably got real good credits go now,
right?
And some dollars,
right,
in the bank. Well, you know, hey, I forgot about that Gary Owens, his wife. Yeah, I just want to know if the affair, did he go back? Did he keep it real, or did he go back home? Did he say I like these Ritz crackers, or did he say I need to go on back and get these saltines in my life?
I have no idea, but the man did.
Oh Lord. Anyway, look, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump into our conversation for tonight. Our conversation for tonight, 10 things I love that worship leaders do. That's our conversation for tonight. 10 things I love that worship leaders do. But in the meantime, in between time, guess what, y'all? The band is back. So let's just get ready, and we're going to get it in. Y'all ready? Come on, Cleophas, one time, sir. Come on. Let's get it. I know y'all. Just say, once you go back, once you go black. That's it. I know y'all wouldn't, you know, yeah. So what? I'll tell the first. Oh, they want me to tell the first lady that they sorry that they messed up when she was here, that they want to put that out there, that they wasn't able to make it in the night she was here. So
okay,
yeah, they want to put that out there. Come on, Cleo is back home. One more again. That is. Come on. That's it. TTLO, y'all. We'll be right back.
I have no reason.
The Lord is my light. I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to fear. That's the more that good old J.J. Harrison and youthful praise. J.J. Harrison and youthful praise. Look, y'all, we got a great, great conversation for tonight. Felicia, I'm laughing at you once you go black. Felicia said, I used to read all those books. I read another one. You never get the answers you want. Yeah. Yeah, you get, you know, you get some stuff and then you wonder like, okay, you know, it's like those books are, don't get me wrong. I believe, can those books be helpful? Absolutely. I believe they can be. But I also think that unfortunately when you are, I think any book that forces you, or I shouldn't say force, any book that encourages you to do self-evaluation is a good book. But then after that, you know, at some point you have to get beyond the author of the book. Right. So what I'm saying is this, there's a very good, and I've never looked at a cover of any one of this man's books. I never even looked at the Steve Harvey book when it came out, but I'll say this as closing out that segment completely. You don't, if it's something in the book that will help you, the author or the source should not matter. You know what they say about don't shoot the messenger, right? Because sometimes the messenger is not necessarily the best person. Because, you know, the person, watch this. The for all you know, let me mess with y'all here for a minute. The person that pushed the button that sent your STEMI to your bank account, that could have been Chester the child molester. For all we know, that didn't mean you didn't want your STEMI. So don't shoot the messenger. So there still could be some good in the message, even though the messenger was flawed. Every messenger, every book of the Bible was written by a flawed person. I'm not comparing this to the Bible, but I'm simply saying every book of the Bible was written by a flawed person. Every one of them. But every book in the Bible pointed towards someone who had no flaws, right? So we can take the message of the from the flawed person, and we can look beyond the flawed person and still use the message as growth. That's what I'm pushing. So again, that's all I got to say about that. She says you don't want to read the GOAT of all times. You don't want to read the. Got all the Okay, I got it. Okay. But I'm like, yeah, so you know, you gotta do that. All right. So here we go. There's this great article simply entitled The Top 10 Things I Love That Worship Leaders Do. The Top 10 Things I Love That Worship Leaders Do. The writer is Jarrett C. Wilson. He writes for churchleaders.com. Top 10 Things I Love That Worship Leaders Do. He says, I love it. This is what Jarrett says. I love it when worship leaders, number 10, he's going from 10 down, counting down, top 10. He says, I love it when, number 10, worship leaders lead more than they perform. I love it when worship leaders lead more than they perform. I like that. They lead more than they perform. He says, I'm grateful for talented vocalists and musicians serving as worship leaders, but I'm especially grateful when our leaders don't treat their position as a showcase for their gifts, but as an opportunity to shepherd the flock. I like that. He says, I love it when worship leaders choose songs that lend themselves more to congregational singing than band performance and lead in such a way that it's easier to follow along. He says, appropriate keys and pacing, not over improvising, following the printed or projected lyrics and so on. He says, so again, it's more about your worship than your performance. It's got to be more about your worship than your performance. And I love that that's the route he's taking there. It's more about your performance than it is your, it's more about your worship than it is your performance. I like that. Then he says, number nine, he says, I love it when you, the worship leaders, when they approach the worship gathering with a pastoral sensibility. That's number nine. I love it, he says, when the worship leader, when they approach the worship gathering with pastoral sensibility. What does that mean? He says the worship gathering shouldn't be some bland, uncreative exercise in avoiding anything remotely artistic. But I'm grateful for worship leaders who think primarily about what the flock needs more than what the flock wants. I like that. He says because they're not always the same thing. And it seeks to steward the music time and other worship order elements with Christ's glory at heart. He says, and pastors, especially pastors, this is why often the most gifted singers or the most gifted musicians in your church are not always the best candidates for worship leaders. Can we talk about that for a moment? You can be the best singer in the world. That doesn't make you the best worship leader in the world. You can be the most talented and the most highly trained. You could have went to Juilliard. For those of you who don't know, Juilliard School of Music, that's where the greatest. If you are a musician and you can say you went to the Juilliard School of Music and graduated from the Juilliard School of Music, then you know the elements of music. You know everything there is to know about music, but even that does not make you qualified to be a worship leader in the church. I don't care how much you can transpose. I don't care how much you can transcribe. I don't care how much you can split this and do this and do this and all these things, invert you can invert harmonies and what chords you can change around and all that. None of that's going to matter. That doesn't qualify you to make you the best candidate to be a worship leader. Because the first thing with the worship leader is it's got to be your connection to God. It's got to be that thing on the inside of you that wants to please him more than you want to please the crowd. I'll say that again. It's got to be more about putting him on display than putting you on display.
Comments and questions.
What makes an effective worship leader? Well, Zachary, you really asking me that question while you sitting here? What makes an effective? That's Zachary, y'all. Worship leader, Zachary Lavender. Y'all know him. He's been on here several times. Worship leader extraordinaire. But he's been on several times. He asked the question, what makes a good worship leader? I'll start, Zachary, with help me out with the scripture. John 4, where he says God is a spirit and they that worship him must what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to know what, see, the first thing I would ask, and I thank Donna Patrick for this, the first thing I would ask anybody that's going to be a worship leader is, what does that verse mean to you? What does that verse mean to you? Right? Because that verse says a lot as far as being an effective worship leader. What does that verse mean to you? Do you understand what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth? Right. That would be my first response. Zachary gonna put me on the spot. Felicia says, I think it's hard because we live in a fluff attention getting society. How can the church compete with people that are always being stimulated? Oh, that's good. That's a good question, Felicia. How can the church compete with people that are always being stimulated? You're right, Felicia, but it comes from making sure that your people understand. This is why it's so important. Just like we spend a lot of time teaching on discipleship, we spend a lot of time teaching on evangelism, we spend a lot of time teaching on outreach, we spend a lot of time teaching on stewardship. We don't spend a lot of time teaching on what true praise and worship looks like. We don't. And when you don't spend time teaching your people or re-educating your people on what that looks like, then they don't understand it. And then so they're looking for what they've seen somewhere else. They have a mindset that makes them believe, oh, well, in order for us to be having praise and worship, folk need to be falling out. Folk need to be shouting. Somebody need to be dancing. Somebody need to be jumping. Somebody needs to be doing all these things because they have not been taught the essence of what true praise and worship looks like, what it means to be intimate with God. They haven't been taught that. So a lot of times, and Felicia, you are dealing with an overstimulated people. Like if we ain't getting all of this right here, give me this, Cleo, forgive me that right there. If we ain't getting all this right here, see what I'm saying? If we ain't getting, come on, one more, take it up one. If we ain't getting all of that, then we feel like, you know, that's how. Thank you. We feel like we ain't praising. If we ain't getting all that. But that's gravy. I'm going to help somebody, and I'm going to move on to the next one. That's gravy. That's not the meat. That's not the meat of what worship is. That's the gravy. That's the add-on. That's the add-on. Because true worship starts before the band ever hit a key. Huh? That'll hit y'all later. The true worship started before you got to the church, or at least it should have. Let's keep going. We're talking about, and again, this is a great, great article. The top 10 things I love that worship leaders do. Again, this is by Jared Wilson. The top 10 things. Number 8 says, he says, I love that they let theology drive their decision making. That's number 8. I love, that's it, Zachary. He says it's called emotionalism. It gets us nowhere. Right. He says, number 8, he loves that they let theology drive their decision-making. They let theology drive their decision-making. This is what the writer says. He says, too many worship services are driven by consumeristic or pragmatic ethos. Too many worship leaders and their pastors and creative teams overbusy themselves asking, what else can we do? As if the worship gathering is a blank artistic slate for creative expression. But he says the Jeff Goldblum character in Jurassic Park made this great saying. He says, "You were so busy asking if you could do something, you never bothered to ask if you should." Ah. So he says, that's why I'm grateful for worship leaders who know how to evaluate songs for theological soundness, biblical coherence, and doctrinal clarity. He says, I like it when this commitment to theology is reflected in a fearlessness about old songs and discriminating taste about new songs. So again, and Zachary, I'm so glad he's on here. Because Zachary is really good at this, evaluating songs for their theological soundness. Don't just like the song because of the, you know, again, when you're overstimulated people, it's easy to get caught up in the beat. It's easy to get caught up in the bump. It's easy to get caught up in the chords. It's easy to get caught up in all of that other stuff. But then we don't listen to whether or not the song is theologically sound. So and it's like I told y'all, there's so many songs that are out there that don't have a good theological reference, right? They don't line up with the Bible. They sound good. They're catchy. They'll get a lot of radio play, but they don't. Like, you know, I love the beat of this song, right? Let me get you a little bit of this. I'm gonna get in trouble, but let me get a little bit of this. But this right here,
I want you to know, long as I got King Jesus.
Huh?
I don't need nobody else.
Right there, y'all heard what she said.
Hear me what I said? Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Come on.
That's the crux of the song.
Now,
see, we'll get caught up in the beat, right? Because the bass player thumping, right? We'll get caught up in it. And then before you know it, we singing right along with us. But the crux of the song is, long as I got King Jesus,
long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long as I got, don't need nobody.
So you got Jesus. So, you know, when you fall out at home and you can't get up and you don't dial 911 because you said, I'm just trying to help somebody. You said, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. So that means you can quit your job right now. If you listen to the words of the song, it's not God. Jesus puts people in our lives for a reason. He puts people in our lives for a reason. That song does not fit any biblical reference at all. And there are others. I just played that one because that's like my go-to, you know, because I love the song. I mean, I love the beat. I've never really liked the song. I like the beat because, you know, you end up patting your foot and all that good stuff. But when you listen to the lyrics, you know, it takes you somewhere. Zachary, thank you, sir. Zachary says, one of the first things I do when selecting music for worship is I examine the text first. If the Bible cannot support the text or words, why are we singing them in a worship setting? Ooh. Wow. If the Bible cannot support the text or words, why are we singing them in a worship setting? That is the question. That's the question right there. That's good, sir. That's good. Let's keep it going. Again, the article is simply entitled 10 Things I Love That Worship Leaders Do. Number 7 says, I love when worship leaders think about the service beyond the songs. Number 7 says, I love when worship leaders think about the service beyond the songs. So the writer says, and I don't mean simply videos or whatever. He says, I'm grateful for worship leaders who think about the worship order as a whole, who think about the story a worship order tells. He says, every church has a liturgy, even if they don't like that word or they've never even heard of that word. Your worship elements and their order communicate something about God, about his word, and about your church. He says, I love it when it's clear the worship team hasn't just busied themselves picking good songs, but has also thought about the progression of song content in relation to the different elements of service, confession, prayers, communion, sermon, and so on, and how the pieces together point to God in Christ as our hope. That's why back in the day. And a lot of churches don't do this anymore. And I don't know, Zachary, maybe you can help me with this. I don't know why churches got away. It always was, it matters when the leader has taken the time to get with the worship team, or at least the leader of the worship team, to say, this is the theme for where I'm preaching from. This is my, here is my scripture. And I'm going to be preaching about this. So the songs that you pick, please have them some sort of, this is the trajectory in which I'm trying to take us to. I prayed, I've talked to God, and this is where he wants me to lead the people. And so I'm going to encourage you to help me get there with your song selection. So if I'm preaching about praise, then I need you to be teaching and singing about praise so we can get there. So by the time we've gotten to the sermon, by the time we've got to the sermon, everything leading up to the sermon has gotten us, you have helped set the table for what the word is going to be preached about. And in some instances, if that's done correctly, sometimes that's the Spirit of God will be so heavy that guess what? You don't have to even preach a word because everything that needs to be done has already been done. But that's why the musicians, not being so overbound on the musicians that you are micromanaging the service, but to the point where they understand where you're going to be preaching from, what your theme is. They've looked at the scripture. Because I guarantee you this. If you have a conversation with your praise team leader and your minister of music, and you say, I'm going to be preaching from Psalm 150, and I need y'all to be reading Psalm 150 all week long, and I need y'all to be reading this and praying about Psalm 150, and then I need your song selection. I need you to be thinking about Psalm 150 when you're picking your songs. By the time we get to Sunday, by the time y'all have done rehearsing, by the time we get to Sunday, you all are coming in and the atmosphere is being set before you even walk in the building. Zachary says that's a great practice, but how many churches are doing this? That's true. That's true. How many are doing it? Because that's where you get the off. That's where the authentic worship comes from. Not the manufactured, not the store-bought, but the authentic worship. Not the contrived, but the authentic. You got to be. There should be some alignment. Not so rigid of an order, or of a liturgy that doesn't allow room for the Spirit of God to move. But to at least be in line, right? If we sang nothing but praise songs that talk about the love of God and exalting God, and then you turn around and you gonna preach on stewardship, or you gonna preach on souls not going to hell, then we ain't lined up. And you could have a great sermon, but it ain't. But there is a disconnect. So now you've taken us here, and this is what the problem. A lot of churches have. Your musicians. It can work both ways. Your musicians can take us here, right? Your musicians can elevate the praise in the room to here, and then here you come with this sermon that is in no way connected to one song that has been sung in the process of the hour and a half you've been in the building, or the 60 minutes. And now here you come. So now, you know, the people who are in the room, you know, we've had the appetizers. We ate the bread at the table. We've drank the good drink at the table. We've had the good appetizer at the table. And now here you come with the main course, and it ain't seasoned. My God, I feel like I'm helping. You coming with the main course, and it's either well done or not, or undercooked. It doesn't match. It doesn't work. It just don't flow. Pat says, yes, you can take the title Minister of Music literally. That person and the preacher need to be in sync. Absolutely. I appreciate musicians here, because when it's time for me to preach, I make sure I'm like, hey, you know, Susan asked me, she said, do you have an idea of what you preaching about? And if I know, I'll be like, hey, I think this is where so far I've been praying and talking to God, and this is where he's leading me right now. So if you can find something in this vein, I'm good. Zachary says, an anthem and a hymn will take you right into worship. I'm not saying they're the only genres of music help us worship, but the anthem and the hymn are guaranteed to strengthen our worship and our faith. Zachary, you are right. But then again, Zachary, this goes back to the question you asked me before in your last comment. How many churches are doing this? How many churches are doing anthems? And it's hard to say that when most churches don't have choirs. And then, Zachary, here's a question that maybe, you know, when I come back another Friday that you're free, you can pop in. Because what should churches do, you know, with COVID and everything, and they still don't want people having choirs? You know, I'm curious, and I keep saying I'm going to look and see. I'm going to check and see before I leave here today. I'm going to go online and see what's the church with all the folk that be shouting all day? I say the name there all the time over here on the south side. Greater Harvest. What are they doing? Because Greater Harvest got a 90-piece choir. What have they been doing during the pandemic? I'm curious. What have they been doing during the pandemic? Now, the question is, here's the question. What happens if your whole choir gets vaccinated? If your whole choir gets vaccinated and they get fully vaccinated, then what's to stop you from putting your choir back together? I don't hear nobody. if your whole choir gets vaccinated, then what's to stop you from putting your choir back together? But that's a question I want to know, you know, because how do you get away with an anthem now in this environment, Zachary? You can always do it. If you got a good soloist, you can get a hymn through. But watch this. If you got a good band, I'm not saying a band that just can open up the hymnal and play the song. I'm talking about a band that knows how to worship in the music. There's a difference. There's a difference. I want to make that very clear. I didn't say just open up and turn to I Need Thee and play I Need Thee. I'm saying, can you worship with your instrument while playing I Need Thee? That's the difference. It's like what's the guy's name that passed away? Zachary, you know the family. Schaefer, the late great Nash Schaefer. Nash Schaefer could do some things on an organ that would make you look at the organ after he got off of it and say, well, what was wrong with it before? Y'all, if you've never heard the late great Nash Schaefer play the organ, you missed out on something. Huh? You didn't have to sing. You ain't have to have a soloist. You didn't have to have none of that. Nash Schaefer was going to turn the organ into a holy instrument of God. G-A-W-D, God. He would do some things on an organ, and you would be sitting there like, is that the same instrument? He understood what it meant to exalt God with the stringed instruments. Right? So you gotta have some people who understand that, because I And this is where I've said this on this show a lot of times, because people think I'm against hymns. I'm not against hymns. I'm not against anthems. But it means something when they're sung properly, when they've been rehearsed, when they've been gone over. And don't get me with the, well, we've been singing these for 20 years. I don't care how long you've been singing it. Okay, how long you've been singing it? You know, I'll say it like this, and I hope ain't nobody, don't nobody get offended, but I, you know, for those of my former Kingdom Baptist Church family, there was a difference between Deacon Bird singing the Dr. Watt and Deacon Langworthy singing the Dr. Watt. There was a difference. There was a difference. That's all I got. That's all I got. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Look at Psalm 150. Huh? You ain't got, what about it? I already know about Psalm 150. What about it? Huh? Look here. Psalm 150, that's my go-to. Huh? That's my go-to, Psalm 150. Come on now. That's the one. That's the one to take us right on in. Every time. Every time. Huh? Praise ye the Lord. Praise him what? In the sanctuary. Huh? In the firmament of it. Come on now. I know that one. Yeah. Look at Psalm 150. Look, we can start right there. We can start right there. But here we go. Let's keep it going. Y'all keep the comments going. I'm going to keep it going. The writer says, I love it. Things I love with praise leaders do is he says, I love that they aren't afraid of the silence. Number six says, I love that they aren't afraid of the silence. The writer says this, not every space has to be thick with sounds and visuals. He says, I know silence between songs can sound like awkward transitions, but not every square inch of the worship service has to be produced. He says, is that funny synthesizer ambiance in between songs and during prayers there to create a mood? Why? What for? He says, I love it when worship leaders embrace the real. One thing my church worship leader does, the writer says, is after the sermon has been preached and before he leads us into his closing song, is it gives us time to silently reflect on the message. He says it's not a long time, but it's long enough to start to feel awkward to those who are new to the practice. But he says there's no ambient music, no vocal prayer, just silence. He says you can hear those scattered coughs, kids whispering, a Bible hitting the floor, the rustling of papers, but mostly just stillness and quiet. In our daily lives, he says, we're always awash with noise. We're in a hurry, sick, or whatever. He says, even when we're alone, we're taking in the noise of the internet or something else. He says, I think it's wonderful to take into account our worship service, not to feel inclined to mirror the constant noise of the world and give us some time to hush. It's good for our souls. Can I say something? Once you've taught your congregation about what praise and worship is, I think this works. But if you read your Bible, if you've read your Bible enough, you'll run across a word in the Bible, and the word says Selah, S-E-L-A-H, S-E-L-A-H. L-A-H. You'll see that in the Bible quite often. You'll see that in the Bible. It's at the end of verses in the book of Psalms and in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. You'll see it there quite often. And what you'll find is it simply means to reflect on what was just said. Right? It's a time to reflect on what was just said. In case you did not know, when you see Selah in the Bible, you don't read the word out loud. Selah simply means to pause and reflect on what just happened or what was just read. So when a song has ended or when a prayer has ended or when a preached word has ended, it's okay in that moment to sit back and reflect on what was just said. It's okay to Selah in that moment. That's what it means. That's what that silence is. The preacher just reminded you. And maybe he didn't have to remind you, but he just said, when I, the preacher just got through talking about the goodness of Jesus, and now he stops. And instead of being focused next on what the musicians are about to do or what's about to be the next part of the service, how about you sit there for a moment and reflect on just how good God has been to you? Zachary says, silence in worship allows the congregation to contemplate, connect, and consider. Oh, that's good. I like that. I like that. To contemplate, connect, and consider. That's rich. I like that. Contemplate, connect, and consider. Yeah. Yeah. That's all of our responsibilities. When we hear, when we've been given the word of God, or we've been led into worship, that's our chance to contemplate, meaning to think, mull over, connect to what's happening, right? If worship is going forward, are you connecting or are you examining? Are you too busy looking at something else? Or is your mind elsewhere? Because if your mind is on the greens you left on the stove, then you ain't connected. Huh? If your mind is where we going, if your mind is focused on where we're going after church, then you're not connecting. You can't be contemplating on what was just said. You can't be. How can you consider how good God has been when you haven't taken the time to take in all that was just said? Zachary says, appreciate the silence. It can be powerful. Oh, that's good. That's good. Appreciate the silence. It can be powerful. I like that. I like that. Appreciate the silence. It can be powerful. Let's keep going. We're on number five. Again, we're talking about the top 10 things I love. He said, get out my book. Look, hurry up and get it out. Look, so we can go on tour with you. Hurry up and get it out so we can go on tour with you. Because that's the one for me. I need a few copies of that just for myself. I don't even know why I need more than one, but I'm going to need a few. Bless you, Nathan Wilson. Let's keep going. Number five, again, we're talking about the top 10 things I love that worship leaders do. It's an article by Jared Wilson. Number five says, he says, I love when worship leaders pray for real. Uh-oh. When they pray for real, there's a difference. He says, I love when worship leaders are God conscious and their prayers sound like they're actually talking to their Father. Mm. He says, sometimes it's easy for worship leaders to lapse into stage prayers, where the prayer is simply a filler, a way to introduce the next song, or full of verbal tics that don't make it sound like the leader is well-versed in prayer outside of the worship service. You know, Father God, we just love you, Father God, and we just love, and Father God, and Father God, and Father God, and Father God. He says, when you pray naked, even in your skinny jeans, he says, I'm inspired and encouraged to bring my true self before God. He says, I'm led to cry out to God myself when it sounds like my worship leader is crying out to God. Cannot. This goes back to the John 4 and 24, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. If you do not pray and talk to God Monday through Saturday, your Sunday service praise and worship prayer is going to sound like a canned prayer, like you took it and you found it somewhere else, or your prayer is going to consist of a bunch of cliches that you heard growing up. Because 9 times out of 10, that is not how we pray to God in our private setting. What we need to get comfortable with is talking to God like we do in our private setting, but talking to him in a corporate level. Because, see, when you're praying, you're talking to him, but you should be doing it on behalf of the congregation. That's why when we invite God into our worship, when we invite him into our worship, I just thought about that good old song again, In This Place. Woo, my God. But when we invite God into our worship, into this place, that's not the building. That's not the four walls. That's we're talking about our hearts when we invite him in. Because, see, it's hard to invite God in when we're full of everything else. That'll preach by itself. You got to make room. Come on, Jonathan McReynolds. You got to make room. Or is that Travis Green? I always get them mixed up. I think that's Jonathan McReynolds. But you got to make room. You got to make room. Make room to have conversations with God on the regular. And then when you're standing before his people, those conversations don't sound foreign. They don't sound staged. They don't sound canned. Have those real conversations with God. Make that a part of your normal every day. That way, when you get on the stage and you're handed that microphone, now all of a sudden, hey, God, it's me again. And now, God, look, it ain't just me in my closet at home on my knees, God. Now I'm standing before your people. See, I'm talking just like I would talk if I was at home. It's got to be real. It's got to be real. This is good. We're almost done. We're almost done. Number four. The writer says, I love it when praise leaders. I love it. He says, check it out. Check out In the Presence of Jehovah, sung by Damaris Carbo. Is that what this is? Or Carbow? Carbo or Carbow. I will, Zachary. I'll look at it. That's one of the things where we as leaders got to make sure that we're teaching our people how to pray. We assume that our people know how to pray. We assume. That's our assumption. We assume that our people know it. That our people know how to pray. And that's not always the case. That's not always the case. And we got to do a better job of making sure that our people are in the right position. Yeah, in the right position to learn how to pray, to know how to pray, to know how to talk to God. Because a lot of times I think we make it complicated. We make it complicated. When it comes to talking to God, we try to put too much fluff on it, and then by the time we get through adding all the fluff, we forgot about how to actually have the conversation. I wish y'all would get this. Number four. He says, I like it when worship leaders prioritize the word. I like it when worship leaders prioritize the word. Prioritize the word. The writer says this, feelings are great. He says, it's unchristian to deny the importance of feelings, but it's unchristian to prioritize or idealize our feelings. He says, our life is not to be dictated by our feelings, even spiritual feelings, but by the inspired, infallible word of God. Let me read that again. He says, it's unchristian to deny the importance of feelings, but it's unchristian to prioritize or idealize our feelings. He says, our life is not to be dictated by our feelings, even our spiritual feelings, but our lives are to be dictated or inspired by the inspired and infallible word of God. So he says, I love it when worship leaders choose songs that reflect biblical truths. Here we go, Zachary. I love it when leaders choose songs that reflect biblical truths. songs that echo the full-hearted human experience of the Psalms and other biblical texts, and read or recite scripture in their introductions and transitions. He says, I love it when worship leaders begin the gathering, not with a rocking song to loosen up or wake everybody up, but with a scriptural call to worship. This is a reminder that our worship gathering is a response to God's active work in the world and his specific summoning of us through the gospel of Christ. He says, I also love it when worship leaders remind me that the worship time doesn't end when the songs do, and that the preaching of the word is both the continuation of and the apex of the worship gathering. Oh, that's rich. That's good right there. I like that. He says, this is why it's so important, and this goes back to the statement that Zachary that we made earlier about the song selection reflecting biblical truths. That's why when Todd Delaney redid Psalm 8, when he did Psalm 18, and now he's got Revelation 4, where he's literally singing the word of God. Like, he's literally singing the word of God. When he says, "The Lord is my strong tower, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge," and then he goes on to say, "He is my shield and the heart of my salvation." My God, that's scripture. That's calling back to God who he is. What better way to exalt your Savior than to remind him of who he is and the great things he's done? My God. My God. I wish y'all would get this. This is good. This is good. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. What time is it? It is 8:55. We almost good. Number three. Let me do this. Number three. Number three says, lead with, I like it. I love it when worship leaders lead with serious joy. I love it when worship leaders lead with serious joy. The writer says this. He says, I always feel like I'm on a cruise ship or at a cocktail lounge, not that I frequent either one of those places. I'm finna laugh, y'all. He says, when the worship leader is up there constantly cracking jokes and treating his banter like practice for his improv class. You don't need to treat the service like a funeral, of course, and about the only thing as annoying as a constantly silly worship leader is a constantly humorless one. He says, but I love it when worship leaders capture both the gladness and the gravity of responding to the Lord's call to worship. He says, so instead of taking on the personas of a game show host, and on the other hand, I'd rather be alone in my room with my principal's artist on the other, he says, I love it when you are both happy in and humbled by the holiness of God. Can we talk about that right there? Nobody wants to be in the presence of a monotone worship leader. Nobody wants, I'm sorry, that's just not who we are as a people. When I say monotone, I know sometimes in high school you get it, but if you've ever sat in a college class with a professor who would read imagine, I'll take the scripture that Zachary just asked us about, the Psalm 150. Could you imagine being in a room with a professor if you were to read Psalm 150 with a professor who, for lack of better words, was literally, you know, had no mindset of doing anything, who just read the scripture as though it was some lame, unliving, non-existing book of the Bible, like it was just some random book of the Bible that had no life to it. Could you imagine someone who came up with Psalm 150 and says, read it just like this, when I talk about monotone? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him according to his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's what is that? What is that? What is that? I can guarantee you when it was being written, it wasn't wrote like that. Zachary says another song that fits this message, Tamla Mann singing Change Me. She sing, oh, well, yeah. Oh, he says she's singing the heck out of it, but it's biblically incorrect. Oh, Lord. I got to look at the lyrics, Zach. I got to look at the lyrics. I don't think I ever paid attention to all the lyrics because she be singing it, but you're right. I've never paid full attention to all of the lyrics. It's very possible. It's very possible. But it does matter. It does matter how it matters, how we stand before God. Now, I'm not saying you got to get up there and she said, yeah, what is that? I know, right? It's dead. Right? It's dead. The Bible is a living, breathing document. It is a living, breathing doc. It is I heard it best described one time. It's not just a book. It's a library of books. It's a library of books. It's a library on how to live. It's a roadmap. It's a guide on how to live. All 66 books. Right? Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. The writer says this. The writer says this. He says, I love it when the worship leaders don't try to out-preach the preacher. Uh-oh. I love it when the worship leaders don't try to out-preach the preacher. The writer says this. He says, I love it when the worship leaders shepherd the congregation well by introducing songs, by giving theological context, praying in transitions, recite scripture, and, of course, using non-singing time for equipping the congregation. He says, but sometimes y'all just talk too much. He says, this is especially notable after a sermon, when a worship leader will sometimes try to re-preach a particular point. The subtext sometimes appears to be, let me take a crack at this, because the preacher whiffed it. Worship leader, I love it when you leave the sermon to the preacher and when the preacher leaves the songs to you. Can I help somebody? In the flow of the service, it's one thing to be in the flow of the service, and sometimes a worship leader can cut a song off too soon. But then there are other times where the preacher decides he want to get in. That was his jam, and so he want to get up there and show us his vocal his vocal skill set, and then he want to sing the same song for 7 more minutes. That's when you have a problem. But when you are on the same page, she said, amen, goes right there. When you're on the same page with your worship team, when you're on the same page with your minister of music, you guys will know how each other flows. And just like the preacher wouldn't want somebody to come behind them and step on their message, preachers, we have to be cognizant. Come on now. We have to be cognizant of the fact that we don't want to step on that worship leader. Uh-oh, Zachary says, God will not change us. He has already given us everything we need to live a life of holiness, 2 Timothy. What he will do and has done is give us what we need to change. That is our responsibility. If God does everything for us, what's left for us to do? Ah, so when she's saying, Lord, I need you to change me. I was about to sing it, but I was going to mess it all the way up. But when she said, Lord, I need you to change me, that's where she goes wrong, huh? All right, I get it. I get it. I get it. And you know what? When you think about it like that, God does not change us. He simply points us in the direction. Uh-oh. He simply shows us a different direction. Come on now, y'all need some help. Let me take it a step further. Getting your car and turning your GPS and telling you trying to go home or you trying to go to the store and then go a different way. The GPS will tell you redirect, rerouting. The GPS is giving you clues and directions on how to go, I feel this now, on how to go back the right way. But you, sir and ma'am, what do you have to do? You have to change direction. The GPS, oh, help, you know what? I feel like I might almost preach again. The GPS, come on now, the GPS does not reroute your vehicle. The GPS simply tells you which way to go. That's the, oh, Zachary, you just helped me now. You're going to help me preach. The GPS simply gives you the route, keeps you on course. Now, if you decide to change, it's still up to you to follow the GPS. Uh-huh. It's up to you to change your mind. It's up to you to change your mind. Can I help somebody? Can I take you somewhere? Can I go all the way back to the prodigal son? But look here, his daddy, come on now. Oh my God. His daddy was still where he was from the beginning. I see, this is how I get off course. His daddy was still where he was from the beginning. He left and went elsewhere. He still knew where to go. His destination, his home was still there. But he decided to go somewhere else. He decided to go off course. But when it was time, come on now, come to yourself. When you decide, come into yourself. When he decided that the pig pen was not where he wanted to be, when he decided that he wanted to be where the food and the clothing was, where he had it real good, when he decided, not God decided, because God never moved. I wish y'all would get this. His daddy never left. So when he changed his mind, not when God changed it, when he changed it, my God, my. Come on now. He said, talk to yourself. Come on. Well, talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time. Huh? Oh, my God. My God. You're talking to yourself, but don't answer, though. Don't answer. All right, we almost done. See, I was almost there. Number one. The last thing. The writer says, I love it when the worship leaders point me to the gospel. Uh-oh. I love it when the worship leaders point me to the gospel. The writer says this. He says, this is why I'm there. He says, whether I remember it or not, this is what I need. I need the announcement of the historical work of Christ on the cross out of the tomb more than I need oxygen. He says, so I'm very, very grateful when your song choice, come on, Stanley, I came to myself. I wish you said. The writer says, so I'm very, very grateful when your song choice, your banter, your worship order, and everything else makes it clear that the grace of God given to sinners through Jesus is your reason for being, your raison d'etre. Hey, come on, somebody help me. He says, I love it when you take care not to distract from the gospel, whether by content or creativity. He says, I love it when you take care that your artistic efforts adorn the gospel and don't obscure it. He says, and I love it, when you rehearse the gospel with us. It's the greatest gift you have, and it's the greatest gift you can share. Okay, Zachary says, right, the music we sing should point us to Christ. My. He goes on to say this. He says, for all those who labor faithfully in these things, including many, many friends of us who served in churches, he says, who serve in churches as worship leaders, some perhaps in the face of weekly criticism and complaints, he says, I am eternally thankful for you. You have got, look at the end of the day, does that 15 to 17 minutes that you're on stage leading worship, at the end of it, did you point the people back to Christ? Or were they left remembering what you did on stage? I'm not saying use your I'm not saying not to use your vocal gifts. I'm not saying not to use your instrumental talent. I'm saying at the end of when you're done, have you used your gifting? Have you used your skills to point them back to Christ? Or are they left with, oh my God, he really sung that? Or do they leave and saying, oh my God, God really used you? Ah, see, it's a different. It's a different. When they say, oh my God, you were amazing. That's why when I preach, I hear people when they come to me after I've done preaching, and I'm always leery of what I let into my ears, what I let go in one end out the other, because they'll say, oh boy, you know you preached. Or when they say, man, God used you today. See, I receive that, because that's God getting the glory. I wish y'all would get this. When somebody says, oh, God really used you today. Oh, you let God, the Spirit was in you today. God used you today. See, that's God getting the glory. That ain't me. But when they turn around and say, oh, you know you preached today. Boy, you sure did preach. Ah, see, no. Thank you. Mm-hmm, that wasn't me. That was God. See, I know sometimes it's a compliment, and people a lot of times don't recognize what they're saying. But it's just like when somebody is singing. And it's one thing when they're doing vocal acrobatics. It's another thing when that happens in the midst of worship, because then you're like, oh my God, God did something with your voice today. My God, he used you. Right? That's where we all want to be. And anybody who leaves the pulpit area, who leaves the stage, when you put that mic down and you're looking for people to say, oh my God, you sure preached good today. Oh my God, you preached good. No, when I get that, then maybe I didn't do good. But when I hear, oh, God used you today. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for allowing God to use you today. I needed to hear that. I'm so glad God used you today. See, that's different. That ain't Dana. That's God. I'm so glad God, the Spirit of God used you in that song today, or used you on that piano today, or used you on those drums today. That's God. That's where we want to be. That's when you know you've moved beyond just performing a set on Sunday. That's why I applaud musicians and worship teams who come together to rehearse, and a lot of times those rehearsals turn into worship services. I miss those Spirit-filled worship service, those Spirit-filled rehearsals I used to have with my old praise team, and when I was over the young adult choir over at Kingdom. Those were some Spirit-filled rehearsals. Because see, if you come into the rehearsal with the mindset of, if you treat rehearsal like it's a worship service, my God, I wish somebody would get this. Like, look, I don't want God just to be pleased with me on Sunday. I want him to be pleased with me at this rehearsal. That way, on Sunday, I'm not so concerned about the music, right? Because I know I know at the rehearsal God was in it. Oh, I wish y'all would help me. I know at the rehearsal he was in it. I know at the practice he was in it. That's when you know you're connecting with God. That's when you have a spirit of excellence, not a spirit of perfection. Not a spirit. There's a difference between a, see, that's a lesson right there. The perfection versus excellence. There is a difference. There is a difference. But that spirit of excellence comes with your practice and with your rehearsal, with your coming together and becoming a unit, not a bunch of shard up pieces that just come together for a couple hours on the weekend. I wish y'all would get this. That's the spirit of excellence. Not here is a song, y'all learn it, and here we go. No, the spirit of excellence is, you know what? I'm going to make sure. Because God, I've been given this task of leading. So I'm going to make sure that we show up and it's in excellence. Not perfect, but in excellence. There is a difference between perfection and excellence. Somebody should teach that. There is a difference. I'm not striving for perfection. I'm striving for excellence in all my doing. Excellence. That's it. Not perfect. Not perfect. See, Michael Jordan wasn't a perfect basketball player. He was excellent. Why was he excellent? Because he practiced for the tough moments. He practiced for when it would get hard. He practiced for when it would get difficult. So that way, when difficulty showed up, he had been in a mode of excellence for so long that the difficult moments were just a moment. I wish somebody would get this. Come on, Zachary. Excellence requires preparation. That's good. That's a T-shirt. Huh? That's a T-shirt. Excellence requires preparation. I wish somebody. That's a T-shirt right there. Huh? Say what? You did. You know your mic on. I heard you in my ear. Right. Excellence requires preparation. Otherwise, if you don't have excellence and if you have not prepared, then the only preparation folk going to be looking for is preparation H. I said what I said. Huh? Because that's what I feel like I need sometimes when, you know, when folk don't prepare. Burning sensation. Itching. What? Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. This was good, y'all. This was good. Hey, Zach, when I get back, man, you need to come on, man, and get on in here on Fridays with me. Maybe a couple of Fridays a month. Not every Friday. But pop in here a couple times a month, man, so we can have some good praise and worship conversation. Zachary says, how can we walk up on the platform and you ain't been to nobody's rehearsal? Get someplace and sat down. See, I'm just reading the comments. I'm here for all the comments. I'm here for all the comments. Let me read that again. How can you walk up the platform upon, like you said, upon, like it was scripture. How can you walk upon the platform and you ain't been to nobody's rehearsal? Get someplace and sat down. Let me just come on in. Get somewhere and sat down. That is the comment of the show. Get someplace and sat down. Put your hips in a pew. Find you a row and make it your home, huh? Plenty of room in the balcony. She said, not preparation H. Preparation H. Huh? Right. I know that's right. Real talk. That's why I stopped. That was one of the reasons why I was no longer interested. And I love, and everybody knows I love praise and worship. But that was one of my reasons for like limiting my time on the praise team, because we stopped rehearsing. And it just, and I'm not a singer, and you know, y'all know me, y'all, I'm just gonna keep it real. I'm not a singer who can go weeks and weeks without rehearsal. Not at all. I need my notes. I need all my notes. I need all the direction that I can get before we get up there on Sunday. So, and I need to know. So I need, because see, you need those clues in your brain so that when you hear it going off, memory kicks in, that memory muscle kicks in and say, oh, wait a minute, this is not where I'm supposed to be. That is not how this is supposed to sound right now. Let me fix myself. But if you ain't got no rehearsal, you up there guessing, yeah, all over the place. Yodeling, yeah, end up there yodeling. They all in A flat and you in D. Like, what? That's my key, though. Huh? I do know that. Even Marion told me that last week when she said D was my key. That's what they play in. That's what Cleophas plays in. He play in D all the time. Ain't that right, Cleophas? Right there. See? Go ahead, Cle. That's it. That's it. See? That's D. Right there. See how it's matching up with my voice right there? That's how I talk. That's how I sing right there. D. Somebody say D. Right there. D. Even when I holler, I'm still in D. That's it right there. All right, stop that. All right. But anyway, okay, y'all. We're going to get ready and get out of here. I've been here once again all day. I'm tired. So it's time for me to go. But thank y'all so much. Stanley, thank you. I see you made it home. That's good to know. So I hope you laying down and getting you some rest, because he was down there all day too. So, but look, y'all, we've had a great, 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 great show. Thank y'all so much. Remember, we will not be on the air, not officially, on Monday. We'll probably do a rebroadcast. We might do a pop-in or something from Narlins, but it ain't going to be sanctified. She said, yeah, the key of D don't sing. What? Really? Really? That's what we all? That's what we all? What? Okay, you know what? Don't let me get back over Faith Works and Vision. I'm going to come with a whole solo. I promise you. Don't have me come back over to the Faith Works and Vision, elect lady. I promise I'm coming with a whole solo. She already talking about some don't sing. I'm going to come ready. See, you know what? Zachary going to help me get my voice together. I don't know why I was trying to get other people's. I'm going to get Zachary going to help me get my voice together. Zachary, I need some lessons, man. You come on right on down here. I got the motif fixed. I set the motif up in here. I can plug it in right here. I got the motif fixed.
I want to learn how to sing too.
Say what? But you want to learn how to sing what? Wait, so get back on the mic. What you want to do? Come on. Say it one more time.
I want to learn how to sing.
You want to learn how to sing what?
A song.
What? Why your voice all in the different? Why your octaves change?
I want to learn how to sing too.
Why your octaves changing your voice? Why the octaves in your voice go way up? You over there transposing your own voice?
No, sir.
See, that's right. Speak in your key.
Okay.
Right there. That's your key. Right. So, yeah, but Zachary, I need you to come on down here, man. Just, you tell me what days. And, well, hell, I can come to you. I know you got keyboard, too. He says C, D, or E. C or D. I'm D. My key is D. This is my key all day. Right there. That's my key. All day. That's my key all day long. He said, yeah, I need to bring Zachary. If I bring Zachary, you know, I thought about that the other day when I preached. I just need, if Zachary comes, let me tell y'all something about Zachary. I ain't just tooting his horn because he can sing. But she said, enough for the transposing.
Who was doing that?
That's what Pat said, enough for the transposing. Right, just play. If Zachary come over here to the Ebenezer, let me tell y'all something, and sing a hymn, he ain't going to sing it. Cause I did like that. There's a song. I'm finna get in trouble. But there's a song that I remember as a little kid that Zachary used to sing at the church, and it was this song, and it's a hymn, and it's literally called, and he would sing it. It would always be sung on or around Resurrection Sunday. Zachary, you know what song I'm talking about, right? I'm going to see if he's going to type it in here in a minute if he's still on here. It was a song that he used to sing when he was at Kingdom with us. He would sing that song on or around Resurrection Sunday. And the whole church, I mean, folk in the church who wouldn't crack a smile if Jesus showed up. You know, it would take Jesus to make them crack a smile. He would sing a song. And I would be, you know, I was a kid at the time, preteen or whatever. And, you know, so church music didn't really move me because I ain't know nothing better. I ain't know the words with all that song. But it was something about this one song. I'm going to see if Zachary going to know the name of it. I'm going to put it in here if he's still on here. Zachary, you still on here? Say something. Why tell it? But it was this one song, and it's in the hymn book. And when it's played right and when it's sung right, I promise you, if the angels in heaven don't just open up and the floodgates, all that good stuff just happened to look, tell me, if your spirit ain't moved, check your pulse. I promise. He must not be still on here because he ain't typed on here yet. Zach, are you still on here? Say something. Yes, no, thumbs up, heart, like, something. I promise you. The song, let me see if he's going to say something. He ain't said nothing yet. Okay, the song, it's in the hymn book. It's simply entitled, Wounded for Me. Y'all know the song, Wounded for Me? The song, I would be sitting there trying to hold, you know, trying to be hard. You know, you 13, 14 in the church, you don't want nobody to see you crying, you know, because you hard. But that song would have you sitting up there looking at yourself like, what in the world? Like, why am I still here, Jesus? That song, Wounded for Me, the lyrics, I wish somebody would get this. That song, Wounded for Me, that he was wounded for me. Then that part where it says, I can't remember the words now, something gone my, and then the choir, if you got a real good choir, but you don't really need a whole choir. If you get four or five good background singers to help out with that, when they hit that part, gone my transgressions, and what's it, gone my transgressions, and now I am free. That's it. Gone my transgressions. I think I'm getting the words right. Somebody help me out. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Come on now. And then the verses. Oh my God. What's the next verse? Somebody help me. Y'all get the thing. Can somebody look it up? Because I'm trying to talk. Stanley on it. See Stanley? No. Yeah. And then the next one. It says first verse. It said wounded. He said, all right, gotta have a real good choir, Felicia. You can't have no willy-nilly, you know, not no two-piece and a biscuit. You need a, look, give me two good sopranos, two good altos, and one tenor that know what they're doing. That's all it is. And then that next verse, I might be getting it mixed up. Risen, no, because it's wounded. Then dying for me. Oh, my God. You be sitting there, like, good Lord, can I just get it together, Jesus? Dying for me. That's the next verse, I believe. Dying for me. He was then it goes back to that closeout. Gone my transgressions, and now I'm free. Well, I am free. One of them. I am free. All because Jesus was, second verse, dying for me. Let me see if I can.
Got it.
Wounded, dying. Oh, then risen.
Risen
for me. That's it. Risen for me. Then it's risen for me. Come on now.
Living.
I don't know that part. That's a new verse.
Coming for me. Uh-huh.
I know coming. I ain't never heard living.
It says it's the fourth verse.
I thought coming was the last verse. What's the fifth verse?
The fourth verse is living, and the fifth verse is coming.
I ain't never heard the living verse, but okay. I take your word for it. Uh-huh. I don't remember that one. But risen for me. Woo! Look, by the time you got to risen, church was over. I wish somebody would get it. By the time you get to risen, church was over. And then the old saints in the church, look, we way over time. The old saints in the church, when you get to that coming for me, everybody, look, you could have funerals right then. Coming for me.
My God.
That's a bad one right there. That's a bad song. That hymn right there, done. I wouldn't even want nobody to sing that before I preach, because I ain't going to preach. I'm telling you right now. Y'all might well go and call the people and roll me on out the back.
Who got the body?
Right, who got the body? Call the people. It's just taking me to the crematorium, so, you know, but probably, you know, Wallace and them. Okay. Yeah. Just take me on down to the cream, the saints of old, right. Them seasoned saints, let me say it right. Them good old seasoned saints. When they get to that one when he said, coming for me, that's when the old mother stand up, he coming for me, Jesus. That's when you knew you was having some church then. My God, today, but Zachary could sing that song. He could sing anything. But that song right there, I ain't heard that. He ain't on here. He must not be on here no more because he ain't said nothing. Because I just need, my God. You need a good order. Wait a minute. Now, everybody got to be right. Because that song is all about the organ and the drums. Everybody else can chill out. But the organ and the drums. The piano can accompany a little bit under that, but the organ and the drums carry that thing. I wish I could find a version of it where somebody was singing it almost right. I ain't heard it in so long, but that thing will go by itself. Right, took the whole front row. Right. Right, you see big grown deacons, knife and gun carrying deacons with snot round their mustache. That's when you ain't wiping the snot off your mustache, you ain't.
Also,
you,
they got that good old Viola Davis look.
Right, that good Viola. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
You is smart. All that. Right. Anyway, look, y'all, we're going to get ready to get out of here. I'm going to play some of this song that Zachary sent me in the presence of Jehovah and see what this sounds like as we get ready to get out of here. We're going to pray and get ready to get out of here. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the time we've had on tonight. Lord God, we just thank you for this platform once again. God, we thank you for the allowing us to continue to do this. God, we thank you, God, that we don't do this in any shape, form, or fashion. God, we do this so that you can get the glory, God. So for this, we say thank you. Now, God, as we get ready to leave this place, whenever your presence, God, we continue to ask for the continued healing of all those who've been sick. God, we thank you for restoration on those who are coming back to themselves and are being restored. God, we thank you for bringing our brother Stanley back. We thank you for bringing Pat back. God, we thank you for all those who are on the sick list who are coming back around this way. God, we thank you for continuing to be a healer and a deliverer. God, we thank you for your arms, your loving arms of protection that you keep around us daily. You keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger out in the crazy world we call Chicago and the rest of this world. God, we're sending prayers to the families in Colorado, to the families in Georgia, to the families of the 8 people that were shot here locally last night. We're sending prayers out to those families, God. Anybody who's been a victim of gun violence in these last few weeks, God, we're sending prayers out to all of those who have been affected by that, by any of that violence, God. Lord God, we know you can do anything but fail. So we're asking that you would continue to keep us in your arms of protection. Now, God, as we leave this place, but never your presence, we're asking that you would continue to extend us traveling mercy and grace. And then, God, for those of us who still have to go and find some food, let me say grace right now. Bless the food so that we already can get that out the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me hear some of this song, In the Presence of Jehovah. Let me get a little bit in. Hold on, y'all. Let me see what this do. This is Damaris or Damaris Carbo.
The Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the end. hours of distress.
See, this is one of those songs I can play when I'm studying. Yeah.
To give up in despair. Just look away and breathe his name. He will come and meet you there.
I can add that to my study list right there. I have a study list of songs that I keep playing in the background when I'm writing. I can definitely add that to my study list. Stanley said a little more volume. What? That's definitely getting added. Let me click the add to list. Yeah, I like that. I want to check out some more of her stuff. I appreciate that one, Zachary. That's good. That's good. I like that. Hey, y'all. All right, we got to go. Y'all know the routine. If you got to drive through this special, y'all already know it's real special city we call Chi-Town. Do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters. It already ended. I can't even play this. Oh, because we went way over. I can't even play this. Oh, what kind of stuff is that? Okay, well, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, this is what's going to happen. We're going to go out like this here because I can't play the song I wanted to play. So we're just going to do it like this right here.
Whatever you do, love. I got a victory.